Okay, we are on lesson 5. I think we're halfway through this week, and I'm so thankful that you're enduring through this process and that you're still with me. It always feels good by the time that we get to the end of the lesson. Not only has God taught us through a Bible study, but we feel so good about ourselves that we made ourselves disciplined to continue through. So I just hope that you will stay disciplined and stay focused and continue studying the Word of God and coming together to look at the book of Esther. We're going to learn today about a decision between life and death. For you and me, there's much to learn here in this scripture, and God has a plan and purpose for each one of us. Will we choose to do God's will, which often takes us out of our comfort zone, or will we choose to take care of number one, just each one of us individually, and never find true significance? We're looking this week at the last part of chapter 4. Last week in our lesson, we just looked at the first 4 verses. So this week we're looking on through verses 5 through 17. And it's a great break of the outline. We're really going to look at the facts, the argument, the purpose, and the plan today as we study through these verses. We're going to break it down in that manner. So the first point that I want us to see is that we must learn to listen to the Holy Spirit for direction and truth. And this comes from verses 5 through 9, and I'm going to read that real quick. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to urge her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Now, the name Hathach means truth or good, and we can see here that Esther has really come to a place of complete trust with Hathach. And he went into the city square, which is the marketplace. It's a very public place. The queen does not go because she too is a Jew. But Mordecai gives the whole story of who Esther is, probably, and who he is, and why the edict is in place. He explains it all to Hathach for him to take back to Esther. He talks about the money. You know, it's not the money isn't the evil, but it is the tool behind the evil. And so then Mordecai gives a copy of the edict to explain to Esther. He wants no misinterpretation of what is there. And Mordecai trusts Hathach with this information. And lastly, we see that he sends back the instruction for her to reveal her nationality. I said earlier in an earlier lesson that timing is everything, and we see that specifically here in these verses. Have you ever struggled with a decision in your life like this? The Holy Spirit is convicting you to do one thing, and you want to do something else. God will write the law on your heart, and we are accountable for what we learn. We are accountable today for what we are learning in Scripture. Mordecai gave truth to Esther, and the same is of the Holy Spirit guiding you and me to step out in faith. And we can rationalize, as we're going to see here in Scripture of Esther, we can do that until we are blue in the face. But the Holy Spirit will continue to give us truth until we come around. The more we walk with the Lord, the more He will make us like Him. Off with the old, we are a new creation. So He continues to rid us of our old self and continues to make us look like Christ. And I just wonder if God is calling you to come out of your comfort zone today. Is He asking you to do the unthinkable? It's hard to fight truth, isn't it? We must learn to listen to the Holy Spirit for direction and truth, as we are learning here that Esther is going to listen to Mordecai about truth and about direction. John 16:13-14 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." The second thing that we see are in verses 10 through 13. It's the argument that's going to happen between Mordecai and Esther. And this is the point. Sometimes we must feel the sting of the Holy Spirit before we can make a change that matters. Sometimes we must feel the sting of the Holy Spirit before we can make a change that matters. In verses 10, it says, "Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, 'All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the gold scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king.' When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: 'Do not think that because you are in the king's house, that you alone of all the Jews will escape.'" Yes, it is law to not go before the king unless requested. And, you know, we questioned even this week, is this fair for Esther? You know, it's been 30 days since she has been before the king. But I've just thought about so many of you who go without seeing your husbands. They travel 5 days a week. Whenever they're home, they're really not home. They're really not with you emotionally. They're exhausted. So you may feel like Esther in this situation. But what I want us to see is the reasoning that is going back and forth in Scripture. Hathach went back between Mordecai and Esther 3 times, and Mordecai gives very wise counsel. And Esther responds in a way that I call survival reasoning. She basically says why the plan is not going to work. And she's really selfish at this point. She's really just thinking of herself right now. But we're going to see that change. Can you relate to that? Are you struggling with a situation that's probably incredibly stressful right now? And you're just arguing internally with yourself. You're giving the pros and cons of why you can't move forward. You know what? The Holy Spirit is going to guide you through that process. He is going to speak truth to you. Maybe it's in a verse that you're studying during your quiet time, or a small voice in your spirit, or maybe he does it through a friend, through an acquaintance. God will speak truth to you during this time. In verse 13, though, I think he just nails it. He says, "Don't think that since you're in the king's house, that you alone will escape." Have you ever had a moment like that when something just freezes you right where you are? You know what? Esther stopped her survival reasoning, I think, right at this point. We're not always protected from what life is going to throw our way. We will have trials, ladies. You're probably in one right now or have just come out of one. But often it's the trials that get us back God-focused. What is it that has been said that has stopped you in your tracks? That sting that you say, "I'll never be the same again." The Holy Spirit nails you in your heart and you realize, "I can't continue living this way." Maybe it's an argument that you've had last night or this morning with your husband or with a child, and you have all the reasons in your mind that it's okay to have treated him that way or to have hurt him with those words. He deserved it, right? But then you get that sting of the Holy Spirit whenever he speaks truth to you. "I have commanded you to love this man with all of your heart." Or maybe it's that you're reasoning and justifying why you've cheated on your taxes this year on April 15th. And you just think no one else is going to notice. It's just a very small amount. It really doesn't matter. And then the Holy Spirit speaks truth to you and says, "You pay Caesar what is Caesar's. We are commanded to give to the government in this manner." It's the sting of life that you use alcohol and prescription drugs to take away the sting of reality. And you keep thinking to yourself, I'm strong enough. I can quit this whenever I want. You know what? It's not hurting anyone else. And then the Holy Spirit just stings you with truth. And he says, only I can heal your heart completely. What is it that God is bringing before you and you're all of a sudden realizing just by that spoken word, as we see with Esther and Mordecai, and you say, I'll never be the same again. Immediately you have a change of heart. Stop being the voice of excuse and start being the voice of encouragement. Take courage and be who God has called you to be. We must feel the sting of the Holy Spirit before we can make a change that matters. John 14:26 says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And then the third point that we see here is in within the purpose, and that is in verse 14 of chapter 4. But the point is that wherever the Lord places you, it is to bring forth his truth. And this is what verse 14 says. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. Mordecai lets Esther know that God will deliver his people. If not Esther, then someone else. God's plan will be done, no matter who steps up to the plate. But Esther has a life or death decision before her. She's going to die either way. Isn't this just what happens to us in our life? We're faced with the inconceivable in life, something totally unthinkable. And we must step out in faith and be courageous. God shows us his power at times like this, and he teaches us his character and builds our character to be more like him. We are brought closer to him through prayer and through Bible study, and our faith is strengthened. We see here that God is going to deliver his people, but Esther sees her purpose in life. In a crisis situation like this, there is no neutral position. Failure to decide brings personal loss and misses the opportunity to fulfill God's purpose to work alongside him. What is your purpose? Do you see the critical crisis of life and death for those around you? Wherever the Lord places you, ladies, it is to speak his truth, and he will enable you to do that task. Matthew Henry says this, we should every one of us consider for what end God has put us in the place we are today, and to study to answer that end. And when any particular opportunity of serving God in our generation offers itself, we must take care that we do not let it slip, for we were entrusted with it and we might improve it. What is your purpose? I can guarantee it to be God-focused. If your current focus isn't Christ-centered, then you're in the wrong place. The Lord places you, and he places you there to bring forth his truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I think 1 Timothy 2:4, here Paul really speaks of not only his purpose, but I truly believe the purpose for every one of us as a child of God. And what we see with even Esther, whenever she realizes that she is to speak forth truth to the king. But this is what Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:4. He wants not only us, but everyone saved. You know, everyone to get to know the truth that you and I have learned, that there's one God, only one, and one priest mediator between God and us, and that is Jesus. And he offered himself in exchange for everyone held captive by sin to set them all free. Eventually, the good news is going to get out. This and this only has been my appointed work, getting this news to those who have never heard of God and explaining how it works by simple faith and plain truth. That is what God calls us to do. To speak our testimony to those around us, to those that He has placed us in certain situations and circumstances so that His love can be revealed to others. And lastly, we look at the last point. There is a purpose and plan for you, for your life that God has ordained and desires to see you fulfill. And that's in verses 15 through 17 of chapter 4. And let's read that. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. You know, we have the privilege here to see Esther transform from a selfish, what about me identity to looking outside herself and identifying with her people. She now clearly sees her task to help God's chosen people. So she calls all to fast. She sees the seriousness of this matter. And you know what? She has her maids fast. I just wonder if she shared her faith with them. And then she says about perishing. She says this not out of despair, but out of devotion to God. And she welcomes her purpose. And so I love that we see that Mordecai is satisfied with her answer. And so he leaves. Like us, when we've come to terms with what God has asked us to do, there is peace and there is strength to execute that plan. You know, fasting brings us closer to the Lord. It allows us to focus on who He is and just for us to have a desire and a hunger for Him. And we can do this individually and privately, and that's what we see happen here for these 3 days. And I love that it's 3 days because it really shows us, it's a foreshadowing of Jesus, His death and His resurrection. Esther died to self and was resurrected to do God's work completely. And that's what He's calling you and I to do. What must you do to die to do God's work and to have the mind of Christ? You know, so often we must die to self-promotion. We must die to having the praise of others or the recognition that we always so desire. Maybe you should die to pride or financial gain. God is calling you to do His work, to die to self and truly see that He has called us and He has a plan and purpose for us that is greater and mightier than anything we could have ever dreamed. But we must do like Esther did and die to our fears to be able to live to do His purpose. We must rid ourselves of our agenda to do God's work. Who is dying around you spiritually? There's many people around us that are spiritually dying. Who is it that needs you to sacrifice your time, your desires, your plans to help bring them to life again? There is a purpose and a plan for your life that God has ordained and desires to see you fulfill. I just want to encourage you with this last verse. It's from Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you and for me to do. What is it that God is calling you out to do? What is it that you are arguing with Him right now? Because it just sounds like it's crazy. But He's wanting you to die to your own fears and take courage and do what He has called you to do. Let's pray. Oh, dear Father, I just pray that each one of us can see our significance in You. You have created us. You knew us before we were born. And You already have such magnificent plans for us, dear Father. And our purpose is truly just to go out and to love people, to accept people. There are many who are dying around us spiritually, dear Father, and You are calling us out to speak truth to them. I pray for each one of us that we can take courage in You and that we can step out in faith and do what is unreachable to us, that we see as really being the unthinkable. Will you just take us out, dear Father, to do your work and to send out your love to those that are surrounding us? Be with us this week, dear Father, as we continue to strive to be more and more Christ-like. Continue to transform us and to change our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.